welcome to installment 152 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains four commandments: positive commandment 23, regulating the service of the Levite in the temple; prohibition 72, that the Kohanim may not do the jobs of the Levim, and vice versa; positive commandment number 32, to give special honor to a Kohen; and positive commandment number 36, regulating the various shifts which regulated when Kohanim would serve in the temple. Positive commandment 23 relates to the actual service of the Levites in the temple. As it states in the book of Numbers, chapter 18, verse 23, "Va'avada Levihu es avedes ayil mayet," that the Levite must do his service in the tent of meeting. There were two general types of service that the Levites would perform. One was closing the gates of the temple grounds, and the other was the singing, the actual singing which was done by the sacrifices. This idea of singing is referred to in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 7, where it says, "V'sheres b'shem Hashem alikav," that the Levite will serve in the name of Hashem his God, "k'chol echav halvim," like all of his brother Levites. As it explains in the second chapter of the Talmudic tractate Erechim, that what does it mean to serve in the name of God? This is referring to the song at the time of the sacrifices. This Talmudic section also relates that only the Levites were allowed to sing at these different services. In fact, only the Levites who were singing were not allowed to play musical instruments when they would sing. There was a minimum of 12 singers, the Rambam tells us in his legal code, at the time of the sacrifices. Others would stand with musical instruments. There was a minimum of 2 and a maximum of 6 harps being played. There were between 2 and 120 trumpets, 2 to 12 flutes, 9 and up, the sky was the limit for the number of violins, and there was always 1 tambourine at these different services. A Levite whose voice had faded was disqualified from singing and could not serve forever even though his voice had faded. In that case, says the Rambam, he would be given a job together with those who closed the gate, which he was still able to do. The Rambam quotes the Sifri, which mentions how we know that this is a positive commandment, that he must necessarily perform this mitzvah. As the verse states, "V'avad ha-Levihu," that he, meaning the Levite, must serve. This shows that we can even force the Levite to work. This is not something he can do if he wants, but rather he is specifically indicated to serve. Prohibition 72 relates to the division of labor in the temple between the Kohanim and the Levim. Each group had their own particular specified labor to do. As the Rambam brings from the book of Numbers, chapter 4, verse 19, "Ish ish al avedasei v'al masoi," every individual for his particular service and his particular load. Should there be an exchange of jobs, should the Levi do the job of the Kohen, or the Kohen do the job of the Levi, they would be transgressing on this prohibition number 72. The Rambam says that the actual prohibition derives from the book of Numbers, chapter 18, verse 3, which states, "Ach el klei hakedesh ve'el hamizbeach lo yikruvu ve'lo yamusu," speaking to the Levites that they must not come close to the actual vessels used in the temple or to the altar, so that they shall not die. The Sifri tells us that when the verse states that they must not approach the vessels or the altar, this is the prohibition. Valeyomusu, that they shall not die, indicates what the punishment is. The punishment is a heavenly death penalty. In addition, the verse continues, "Gam heim gam atem," both them and you, speaking to Aaron the Kohen. We therefore learn that not only is the Levite prohibited from doing the service of the Kohen, but the Kohen is also prohibited from doing the service of the Levite. The Levite is not only culpable for doing the work of the Kohen, but even for switching jobs with another Levi. As the Rambam brings the story that once Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya tried to help Rabbi Yechim ben Gurgoda to close the gates of the temple. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was a Levi, and his job was the singing. Rabbi Yechinen ben Gurgoda, his job was among those that closed the gates. When the one who was the singer tried to assist the one who closed the gates, he was warned, "Return, because you would be guilty of death, punishable by death, for switching services in the temple." This is the three derived from the words, "Gam Atem," you as well. The penalty, however, is different from a Levite as opposed to a Kohen, as the Rambam quotes from the Chilta, which states that even the Levite is not guilty of death unless he actually does a service which is singled out for the Kohen. Should he merely touch the altar or touch the holy vessels, he is not punishable by death. The Kohen, however, is never punishable by death. Only the Levite is ever punishable by death. The Kohen, as for any other biblical prohibition, is punishable by malchus or lashes. Positive commandment number 32 relates to the exalting and the sanctification of the Kohen. As it says in the book of Leviticus, chapter 21, verse 8, the Kidashte, that you must sanctify him, ki es lechem elokecha hu makriv, because he sacrifices the food of God, the sacrifices. Kodesh yielach, he must be holy to you. We therefore see that the Kohen must be given honor and exalted above everyone else. However, the verse also gives the reason why he is exalted. As the Rambam points out in the Sefer HaMitzvos, that this is really not for the glory of the Kohen. It is for the glory of God himself. They are singled out because God has singled them out, and he has chosen them to serve in the offering of the sacrifices. And therefore, they are accorded, and they are given a different form of honor, a different form than other Jews are given. How do we express this honor towards the Kohen? The Rambam gives some examples, that he is given the first Aliyah, he reads first in the Torah. He is also chosen first to lead the benching, the Birchas HaMazon. He is also given the first and the choicest portion when things must be distributed. However, this is not something which is strictly up to the Kohen, to accept this glory and honor only when he wants it. As the Sifra states, the Kidashte, you must sanctify him even al korche, even against his will. Let's say, for example, a Kohen wishes to marry a divorced woman, which he is not allowed according to the Torah to do. He does not then have the choice, saying that he does not wish to have the extra holiness of the Kohen. Even should he marry a divorced woman, we are forced to encourage him to divorce her, since his holiness is not up to him. His holiness has come because God has chosen him and singled him out. This same thought is expressed in another quote of the Sifra, from two verses before this one, in verse 6. As the verse says, Kadeshim yiyu lelokeyem, that they should be holy to their God. And the Sifra says, even against their will you must make them holy. And the Sifra continues with another detail. As the verse says, Vahoyu kadesh, and they shall be holy. This extra, seemingly extra expression tells us that even a Kohen with a blemish, who is disqualified from participating in the sacrifices, also must be given honor and glory. His blemish disqualifies him from participating in the sacrifices. However, this does not remove from him the holiness which is deserving of the Kohen. The Rambam says that this mitzvah is discussed different places in the Talmud, such as Tractate Makkos, Chulin, Becheres, and Shabbos. Positive commandment number 36 relates to the Mishmores, the different shifts that the Kohenim were split up into. All of the Kohenim did not serve whenever they pleased in the temple. They were split up into 24 shifts, or Mishmores. The Rambam tells us that this was done by King David and the prophet Samuel, as is related in Divrei Hayomim, the book of Chronicles. Each of these 24 mishmores were divided up into 7 batei aves, individual units, each of which worked one day of that particular week. In his legal code, the Rambam indicates that the commandment is not so much the mere division of the Kohenim into different groups. The commandment is that when the holidays come, that all Kohanim are allowed to come to Jerusalem to the temple to participate. This is explicitly indicated in the Talmudic tractate Sukkah, where it's stated that on the holidays, all of the Kohanim have equal access to the sacrifices. The Sifri brings this out from the verses which discuss this commandment in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 6. The verses say that the Levitical priest, no matter where he lives, can come to the place that God shall choose for the festival. And he can then serve before God, his Lord, just as any of his fellow Kohanim, who then have their particular chance to serve before God, meaning that he can share with the ones who have their regular weekly duty, that on the festivals he shall share in their portion, and the only exception is that which is theirs by ancestral right. The Sifri explains that when the verse says, "V'chol avas nafshei," according to his desire, we might think this means any time he wants he can come to the temple. However, it continues and says, "Me'achad sharecha," in one of your gates, meaning at a time when all of the Jewish people are under one gate, the gate of the temple in Jerusalem. When are all the Jewish people together? Only in the three festivals of Passover, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Therefore, only during those times can a Kohen follow his own desire to come to the temple and partake in the sacrifices. However, there is a difference between which kind of sacrifices he wishes to partake of. Some sacrifices would be brought even though it would be no holiday. Although there was a great increase in sacrifices in the holiday, and we would think it to be unfair that the particular weekly shift should get the benefit of such a large amount of sacrifices, there nevertheless are certain sacrifices which they would get no matter what week it was. Therefore, the Kohanim of that particular weekly shift are the only ones allowed to partake of the regular sacrifices, such as, for example, a tamid, one of the daily sacrifices brought every day, or a musaf offering, an additional sacrifice for the Sabbath, for example, is something which would happen regardless of the holiday. Therefore, only the Kohanim of that particular weekly shift are allowed to offer that particular sacrifice. When it comes to the sacrifices which are relating to the holiday, these sacrifices can be evenly split among all of the Kohanim, but not the ones which would come anyway regardless of the holiday. This, the Sifri derives from the end of these verses, Levad nimkarov al ha'aves, aside from the ancestral rites which come to that particular shift. As the Rambam explains, that an agreement had been made between the different Kohanim, the different elders of the Kohanim, who had declared that they would evenly split up the calendar, that when it came to their particular week, only their particular shift would have the right to participate in the sacrifice and the consumption, if applicable, of those particular sacrifices. Therefore, since the agreement had been made, it must be adhered to, as the Rambam brings from the Targum of the Aramaic translation of this verse, that besides they can partake in everything except for the one of that particular shift, because it has been thus ordained by their fathers. Therefore, the agreement must be adhered to. A Kohen can therefore only partake and participate in those sacrifices specific for the holidays, and not in any other.
Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.